And now to Matthew Goldstein, the former Green Beret. The Army is charging with premeditated murder after an investigation begun in 2016. That's when Goldstein said on Fox News that he killed a man suspected of being the Taliban bomb maker who killed two Marines from his unit in 2010. Here he is with Fox's Brett Baer.
Did you kill the Taliban bomb maker?
Yes.
You willingly offered up these details.
Right.
The Army also investigated Goldstein in 2011 after he told the CIA during a job interview that he killed the man. At that time, the Army took away his Silver Star for bravery in Afghanistan, stripped him of his Special Forces tab. But this is the first time he's been charged in the killing. And President Trump said in a tweet he'll review the case of this U.S. military hero. Jason Dempsey is a senior fellow at the Center for a New American Security, also a retired Army officer who served two tours in Afghanistan. Jason, your first thoughts when you heard this?
It's a heck of a story. Obviously, it's complex. There's a lot about it. We still don't know. And on the one hand, I hate to see it so quickly turn into a partisan football. But I do think that it's probably good to have the discussion around what happened. And hopefully we can draw some lessons out of it about the larger efforts in Afghanistan.
Well, I'm not so sure. I mean, I hear what you're saying. I'm not so sure it has turned completely into a partisan football. There are a lot of people who are questioning why we are not paying any attention to our troops in Afghanistan, Syria, elsewhere, and why they're left to make some of these decisions by themselves. But let's talk a little bit about what might have happened here. There were two members of Goldstein's unit who were killed by a bomb. The suspected bomb maker was found by other U.S. troops and was released. Goldstein came across this suspected bomb maker, who was unarmed at the time, and said he felt he had to take him out. He did kill him. Why was he released in the first place? Do we know?
Well, so this is it's an interesting case study because obviously there's some complexity to this. Through this version of events where Goldstein says that they had captured this bomb maker, that he was clearly a bomb maker and that he was a threat to a cooperating tribal elder. What we haven't heard is the idea of, well, why was he released?
Not by Goldstein, but by the first troops who found him.
And it highlights that maybe it wasn't clear cut. And then that raises a whole host of thorny issues around troop safety and how we're prosecuting this war. And what I'd like to point out, people here in the United States are asking, well, who am I to judge? In that most folks haven't been in this soldier's shoes. They don't understand the complexity or the pressure that he might have been under. So people are kind of throwing up their hands and saying, well, I can't be the one to judge. I think it's a great point, but luckily it's not for us to judge. And I think where the goodness that might come out of this case is the attention and the understanding of how the military prosecutes these things. Because it's not people who haven't been in his shoes that will judge whether or not this action was correct. It will be people who have experiences very similar to his.
Right. It will be the military. But that raises the question why they didn't judge in the first place when he told the CIA that he had done this in an interview. And by the way, he went on to say on Fox, he did kill the suspected Taliban fighter to prevent him from killing more U.S. troops, as well as to prevent him from killing the Afghans who had identified him to the U.S. troops as a bomb maker. Goldstein says it's an inevitable outcome. People who are cooperating with the coalition forces when identified will be, you know, will suffer terrible torture or be killed. So he felt that in killing this unarmed man, he was saving lives. And as you said, it will be the military that will decide whether he should have brought him in with that concern for someone else to try the bomb maker, or whether the concern was that immediate that he felt he did have to, in effect, assassinate him. But why didn't the military give this more? Why are they charging him with murder now when they didn't when he told the CIA he did this?
So as I understand it, what they did was a preliminary investigation in 2014, and that's when they closed the initial murder and conspiracy investigation. They did not find evidence to prosecute, but they did find sufficient evidence that a panel of Army officers in 2015 decided to separate him from the military, issued him a letter of reprimand, as you mentioned, revoked his Silver Star. I mean, these are consequential acts that this panel of his superiors and people who'd been in his shoes said, it's clear that he did something out of bounds, but we're not sure whether or not we can construct a legal case mm-hmm. against him. I.e., it was the profession saying, this is somebody we don't want serving with us due to his actions, even if we can't prosecute in a court of law. What is unknown now is what new evidence has come up. Potentially, I would gather that maybe some additional witnesses came forward after Goldstein made the case on Fox News about what he had done, but that's just speculation.
Right. We don't know because we don't know what he said to the CIA. So obviously something has changed somewhere. Mm-hmm. And one would hope it wouldn't be that he just went public because that should not be the difference between a murder charge and getting, you know, being stripped mm-hmm. of a medal. But you went to West Point. Goldstein is a West Point graduate as well. What were you taught at the academy about these situations? You come across someone, you know this someone will more likely kill again.
The very first words you learn at West Point are the motto, duty, honor, country. Duty, honor, country. Honor is that central piece. And it is emphasized again and again over 4 years, plus in the training that he went through post-graduation, that you simply don't commit war crimes. You know, there's been some discussion around this, around, well, the rules of engagement were confusing. That's all a red herring. The rules of engagement had nothing to do with him, you know, allegedly killing this bomb maker.
Or claiming to have. I mean, you know, he went out and sought him out. But, you know, he might say that's the duty part.
He might, but then the question is, what is his role as part of a larger effort? And we have to ask ourselves two questions. What kind of army do we want? And what are our goals in Afghanistan? If we're going to respect our military, do we want them acting like common thugs or mercenaries? You know, we take pride in the fact that we're not like the North Koreans. We don't mass execute prisoners. We're not like the enemies we have fought. So once we start acting like the enemies we fought, then you have to say, okay, well, what's going on here? What's the purpose of our military and what are we actually defending if we're going to be no better than our enemies? The other part of it is we're always struggling with how do you win the messaging battle against the Taliban to win over the people of Afghanistan because they are constantly deciding which side am I going with.
And by the way, in the field, that's a matter of life or death.
Yeah, exactly. And so in the short term, it might be easy to kill somebody you suspect as being a bomb maker. But if you can't convince or if it's not enough, one, to convince even the Americans around you that he needs to be held, then we certainly probably lost the messaging battle with other Afghans. Said, wow, these guys show up, they kill people in the middle of the night, just like the Taliban do. So it's a toss-up as to where my loyalties lie. Yeah. You cannot act like this and then turn around and say, hey, everybody should respect us. And oh, by the way, people will naturally gravitate towards us because we are the morally superior force, right? This is explicitly ceding the moral high ground to the enemy.
Look, just briefly, your thoughts on President Trump weighing in on this. Some analysts have seen this as something called unlawful command influence, that the president has already interfered with the military case.
All right. There's a time and a place for the commander-in-chief to weigh in, but it's not now. Right? A panel of this man's peers, other Army officers, are going to review all the evidence against him. And then after the Article 32 hearing, if they decide that it needs to go to a court-martial, then he will be tried with all the evidence presented. But to say that we should preempt that whole process, it sends a horrible message, right, to all the soldiers, sailors, airmen, and Marines out there who are trying to do the right thing in really morally ambiguous, tough situations. But to say, hey, you served honorably, but that really doesn't matter because we're willing to give a pass to folks who may or may not have committed war crimes, that does a disservice to the military writ large. That is not respecting and honoring the troops.
You know, the one thing that's not debatable, it's a tragic story. It's a war hero who might have made a terrible mistake. The military will decide. Jason Dempsey, senior fellow at the Center for a New American Security, also served two tours in Afghanistan as an Army officer. Jason, thanks as always.
Thank you, Robin.